The Jewish Heritage Foundation presents The Light of the Eternal People, an in-depth study of Jewish thought and practice based on original source material given by Rav Shmuel Irons, Rosh HaKolel, Dean of the Kolel Institute of Greater Detroit, one of the leading centers of Talmudic research and community education in North America. This lecture, titled How to Take Responsibility, is dedicated to the honor and merit of Rav Avraham Abba Ben Batsalo, Rabbi Avraham Abba Friedman.
If you would begin to compile a list of the many people throughout history who displayed godless greatness of character, scholarship, achievement, your list would probably consist of men and women who lived in many centuries, different eras of history, who looked and dressed very differently and spoke diverse languages. But one thread held them all together, a sense of achrayus, a profound sense of responsibility for themselves and for the world about them. It was that sense of achrayus that inspired them to accomplish what they did. It's that sense of achrayus that can unleash the potential of godless of greatness that each and every one of you possess. What the secret of achrayus is, how you can tap into it and make it work for you, is a subject of this shiur, of this lecture. For ease of memory and organization, I've divided this lecture into six parts. The beginning of each part spelling out the acronym, the Rosh HaTevis, of the word achrayus. The Aleph of achrayus is the Maimer Chazal in Ovis, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yudalad. Im ein ani li, mi li. If I'm not for myself, who is for me? You know, we are often doomed into inaction because we're waiting for someone or something to free us of our predicament, take care of us. The first thing to realize, as Rabbeinu Yonah in his Pirush, in his commentary on this particular Mishnah says, and this is the first citation, we can learn this together. Im lo yochiach atzmi, if I don't rebuke myself, shazaraz atzmi, that I hurry myself up, I inspire myself. This is b'mitzvah, to do mitzvahs. Mili, who is for me lo hechiach lezarzeni? Who is going to provide that rebuke, that musar, and that inspiration? Ki ziruz acherim toivhi lefisho. When others inspire you, it works only temporarily. If a person inspires himself daily, a person always is making plans already. How am I going to get this? Because it's on me. And he starts planning and thinking thoughts, lasas melechas Hashem, to do the work of Hashem, ve'en shikcho lefonov. There's no forgetting. Kasher libo chofetz, because his heart desires, it's a goal that he's placed for himself. Hu derech yosher lefnei ish. This is the right path before a person. The same idea of the importance of not putting the burden of responsibility on someone else, but to do it for yourself, is embodied in the next, this is in the next paragraph. There's a Maimer Chazal taken from a Gemara in Avodah Zorah in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And it starts off, probably many of you are familiar with the Maisa, where Lozer ben Dordaya, this is a person who had fallen deep down in a moral morass, so to speak. He was a mekukel. He was totally deficient morally. Until someone told him, Elazar ben Dardaya, ein mekabel noisa b'tshuva. You've sunk so low, Elazar ben Dardaya, their diet, you'll never be received, so you'll never be able to repent. Holach v'yoshav ben shnei horim u'gevois. He walked and he sat down between two hills, mountains and hills. Omar, and he said, horim u'gevois, bikshu alai rachamim. Mountains and hills, ask for my sake, says mercy. Hashem shav rachmonis on me. And there's a shayla in the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Yud Zayin, if it's only meant to be taken figuratively, this just went through his mind, or it means literally, and the Horemig voice he's referring to are the Sorim, the Malochim, the angels that are Mamunah, that are appointed for each part of this universe. But he asked, Bet Famir Rachamim, he says, yes, please beseech on my behalf to have mercy, Hashem should accept me. And they reply, it says, Amr loy, atshon mevakshon alecha, nevakashal atzmeinu. Why should we be concerned to ask about your welfare? We have to ask about our own welfare. And he brings a posuk in Yeshaya, says, Ki ahorim yamushu v'agvois tumutena, says, we are destined also to be moved. We're also vulnerable. We're in no position to ask for you. And it goes on that he asked Shemayim v'oretz. Yes, heaven and earth, bikshu alai rachim. And again they replied, brought a pasuk, that they themselves are also not permanent. Then he went to ask, says, chamu levona, the sun and the moon. Says, bikshu alai rachim. He says, and again they replied the same thing. We should ask for you. We have to ask for ourselves. And again brought a pasuk, chofer halavona, boisha chama. Says, the moon, the sun, there will be tremendous changes in the time of Yemos HaMashiach or after. We're also, says, in Sakona. And then he went and asked, says, the Kechovim HaMazolos, the stars and the constellation. Again, they replied similarly. At the end of this whole process, he says, Omar, he said, Ein adover tolui elobi. The thing is only dependent on myself. Hiniach roishoy ben Birkov, he put his head between his knees. V'gol bebechina, he groaned and crying and weeping. Achiyotus on ishmosoy, his soul left him. The Gemara, this is the part of the context of this Gemara, is that if a person sinks so low, there's no trufa, a person cannot continue on living. Kol bo'el lo yeshuvan. Person who sunk so low can never do true tshuva and continue to live life because his old life keeps on haunting him. He keeps on being pulled down. It was a shchus for him in the moment of ecstasy, when he was most inspired, when he was ready to do tshuva, Hashem and his rachmanis took his soul away. And in fact, Yotza Baskoil, a voice from heaven came out, V'omra, Rabbi Elozer ben Dodaya. They called him Rabbi already. They gave him a title. It says, Mezuman l'chayelam haba. He is ready, he's accepted into the world to come. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, hearing that, says, Bocha Rabbi, he cried, and he says, a person can be zoicha, says, b'shoa achas. In that one instance of inspiration, a person be koinoi lomoi, a person could achieve, says, the greatest heights. But as the Gemara points out, for Rabbi Elozer ben Dodaya, who had sunk so low, that was the only process. It isn't the normative way a person goes in life. The person is oila, maila, maila, except he jumped up at that instant and he left us. The Mefarshim deal, though, with why he went to these four sources. Remember, he went to Horem u'Gvois, he went to the mountains and the hills, he went to Shemayim v'Oretz, heaven and earth, he went to Chama u'Levona, he went to the sun and the moon, and they went to Kechovim u'Mazolos, the stars and the constellation. What does this mean? One of the Mefarshim, it's brought to the Sefer Ein Eliyahu, which is quoted in the Chedushei HaGaonim, in the Ein Yankiv, offers the following explanation. And he says, these four sources that Rabbi Elozer ben Dodaya sought for help really symbolize the four excuses that Rabbi Elozer ben Dodaya had for maintaining his lifestyle. The first, the Horem Ugvois, the hills, the mountains, represent the dirt, the stone, the basic matter, the chomer that each one of us is composed of. In other words, he is saying that it's not my fault, it's my body. He says the flesh is weak. And because since the mountains are at fault, and as they represent the hardest and the strongest of this material earth, they're at fault. Since they bear responsibility for me, they should pray on my behalf. The answer was, it's no excuse. If mountains would be immobile, if this world, if Chomer would be such a imposing force, then perhaps he would have an excuse. But this is all changing. It's all like, now it's solid, next it will be liquid. There's no excuse for a person, this is how the Ein Elyo learns, to say, says, it's not my fault, my tivers are too much, my desires are too much, I'm too earthy. He says, earth will be changed, and you, just as the earth will be changed, you can change the earth that's part of you. So then he tried a different approach. He says, well, okay, it's not my earth, but there's a different problem every human being has. Every human being has a conflict. And there's the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. We're pulled this way and we're pulled that way. We have no peace. There's Shemayim that lifts us up, the Yetzer Tov, and there's the Oretz that pulls us down. We just can't take the dissonance. The fact is that it's not, the things are not glatt in life. You know, you have your conscience bothers you. The Chazal explains is that by the Yitzira of Adam Arishan, he was created. It says Vayitzor, and there's two yuds. And one drasha the Gemara brings, the Gemara in Brachas and Samach Aleph, is a person. Every human being has this problem. Oili mi Yitzri, oili mi Yitzri. Woe is it for me for my Yitzor Hora? If I do the right thing, my Yitzor Hora bothers me. If I do the wrong thing, Oili Miyotzri, says Hashem, says my creator bothers me. A person always has, he's pulled this way and he's pulled that way. And he says, you know, it was just life was too disturbing for me. And again, the answer was, it's nothing that you couldn't change. Heaven and earth, the difference, that hevdol will become bottle also. And just as in Ibn Lavoi, in the future, says that distinction between heaven and earth, every heaven will merge with earth. You could have made the heaven in you and the earth in you, says, should live, says, in harmony. You know, v'yahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol b'shnei yitzrecha. We were commanded to love Hashem with everything we have. They could come together, says, without dissonance, for a positive purpose. No excuse. He tried another approach. Okay. It's not my chomer. It's not the conflict of Shemayim v'Oretz. But the Gemara points out in Shabbos and Kuf Nun Vav that a person is affected by the day, this is how the Ein Elyo learns, the day he was born. And the Gemara, if a person is born on Sunday, he has a certain teva, and Monday is another teva. And Monday, says the Gemara points out, is when the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim, the upper and the lower water split. It's a day of Machloikas. Someone born on Monday, according to that opinion, says, will be a person, will be a Bal Machloikas. That's the Tev of the day. A person is affected by the day he was. There's a Machloikas in the Gemara, actually, if we go with this. But this is how the Ein Elyo wants to limp shot in the Gemara. If one is born on Shabbos, Kodesh Yenikra, there's something holy about the person. It goes, every day has a significance. And the person again explains, well, I'm a product of my mazel. And they said again, the answer of Elazar ben Dodaya was, Chamul Levana will also change. That will change, says, you could change the effects of the Chamul Levana in you. He tried another approach, a fourth approach. Again, we had the material part of man. We dealt with his conflict. We dealt with the day he is born. But there's the idea of the hour that you are born. And the Gemara goes on to explain, and this is something which is quoted 3-4 times through Shas, the idea that every hour has its mazel. And those mazolas are represented by the seven, what we call luminaries, the koichvei leches. Starting, I don't know if any of you remember your astronomy, there's the planet Saturn. That is really, it's called Shaptoi. And then there's Jupiter, that's Tzedek. There's Mars, that's Madim. We, in terms of thinking of our solar system, we view, says the next one would be the Earth. According to this system, it's the Sun. So it's Chama. Next comes Noiga, Venus, Koichav, Mercury, and Levona, the Moon. So these are the seven. And they keep on changing. So that on Shabbos morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, the mazel of that hour is Shaptoi, is Saturn. And it keeps on changing. Then the next one is Tzedek, Jupiter. And the next one after that is Madim, Mars. Keeps on going. So after 7 hours, after that cycle, it starts again. And after another 7 hours again, another 7 hours again, after 21 hours, it has gone full circle 3 times. On the 22nd hour, let's say this is Shabbos, so on the 22nd hour, again it starts Shaptoi, with Saturn, then Tzedek, Jupiter, right? Then Madim, Mars, at that 24 hours are over. Now we are in the beginning of the day after Shabbos. The mazel of that Shaw on the first hour, the 6 o'clock in the morning, on Sunday is the Sun. 6 o'clock in the morning on Shabbos is Saturn, and that's why it's called Saturday. 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday is the Sun. And if you keep again, let's try this again. Again, we'll make 3 full cycles to get 21 hours. And then, again, it says that we finish the cycles, then we're going to start again. The 22nd hour on Sunday is the Sun. 23rd hour, right, is Noiga, is Venus. The 24th hour is Koichav, is Mercury. Now we finish 24 hours, we're starting a new day. On the next day, the mazel of, again, 6 o'clock in the morning is Levona, is Moon, and that's why Monday morning is called Monday. And again, we're going to go through the cycle again. Again, 23 times over is 21, right? And 22, right? After we got to finish the Moon, we're going to start again. So Shaptoi is the Moon is the 26th, is the 22nd. Hour. 23rd is Shaptoi, is Saturn. The 24th is Tzedek, is Jupiter. So we're finished. Now we're going to start again, and it's Madim. That's Mars. In French, Tuesday is Marti. And in fact, the names that we have on our days are really from pagan gods, just like Mars, which are Koichas and the Shemayim, except that the pagans gave them independent powers and created a whole mythology. It says, Tuesday, there was a god, there's a Norse god that had a name which corresponds to the Roman god. It says, Mars, which corresponds to the planet. That's why it's Tuesday. And then it keeps on going, I don't have to go through this again. Again, the 23, you go through 3 cycles, right? And after, it says, after we got through Mars, this is Mars is the 22nd, says Chama is the 23rd, Noiga is the 24th, Venus 24th is the 24th. We start a new day, and that's Kochav, Mercury. Says there is a Norse god that corresponds to the Roman god Mercury, was Woden, so it's Wodenstag. Says that's Wednesday, and that's how we got every day of the. You figure out the rest yourself. Every day of the week is based on these mazolos. So a person will say, well, it depends what hour I was born. That affects my life. And for practical terms, it has really even a semi-halachic import as well. There are many people who have the minhag not to make kiddush Friday night between 6 and 7. The reason that comes, again, remember on the Friday is Frida's day. Frida was the Norse goddess that's mechuvan, that corresponds with Venus, which is the planet, which is Noiga. If we go through a whole day starting from Venus, right? We go through the cycle once. On the eighth hour, we start again Venus, right? Noiga. Ninth is Koichov. Tenth is Lavona. 11th is Shaptoi, Saturn. 12th is Tzedek, Jupiter. Now we're starting, we finish the day, we start the night. 6 o'clock to 7 is Madim, is Mars. It's a bad mazel. It's a sign of blood. And because it's of mazel, Madim, comes out between 6 and 7, there's a midding not to make Kiddush. So it's based on, just depending where you live across the United States, just as one qualifying note. Originally, every town had their own clock. And 12 o'clock on their clock represented when it was high noon. Over 100 years ago, they decided it's really, especially in terms of the railroads, it was too difficult. You know, every shtetl has its own time. So they created what they called Greenwich Mean Time. That they created 24 sections, a swath of land, and in that area, everyone will have the same clock. So therefore, in Detroit, LaMosha, we have the same, it's 12 o'clock as it's in New York. Except high noon in New York is close to 12. High noon in Detroit is close to 12:30. So if you want to consider 6:30, 6 to 7, prison Machbet in Detroit, it would really be from 6:30 to 7:30. And when you go on daylight savings time, then it would be 7:30 to 8:30. Remember, you heard it in Yavna. So what back to Lozer ben Dordaya was looking for excuses. And he says, there are no excuses. And he finally came to the realization, Ein hadavar toloi elo bi. It's dependent on me. So this is the second part. This is all part of this. Im ein ani li mili. One is, as Rabbeinu Yoina says, no one could inspire you as you can inspire yourself. And two, there are no excuses. Very often we find excuses with ourselves. You know, it's our parents, they didn't give us enough, or they didn't, we had abuse, or it was our rebbeim, it was our teachers, it was chaverim, it was this, it was that excuse and the other excuse. Ultimately, says a person has to say, Ein hadover tolui elo bi, it's dependent upon me. Because ultimately, I can change the course of my life. Which takes the third part of this, of the Aleph of Achrayas, is Lefichach, this is taken from a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Salam Azayin, Amad Aleph, Lefichach Nivra Odom Yechidi. Because man was created as an individual, is not a race of men. Lamdecha Shekola Ma'abed Nefesh Achas Miyisrael, a person destroys a Jewish life. Ma'ilav Akosav Kilu Ibed Olam Mole. He destroyed a whole world because one person it's worthy for the whole world to have been created for one person, and you're that person. And destroying anyone's life is this, you've destroyed this is the whole world. Because every individual contains the whole world. The whole world is worthy of that person. And then it continues, Laficha kol echod ve'echod chayav loimar. Person is required to say, Bishvili nivra olam. For me, the world was created. You know, Anova, humility, is a tremendous milah. That's the milah of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was praised because he was one of Mikolodim, he was most humble of any person on earth. But humility could be our greatest fault. Because we have me, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. What do you expect from me? It's important to know that if you would be the only person on earth, it would be all worth it. And a person is not only required to think it, but he's required to say it, to articulate it. So that's the Aleph. Im ein ani li mi li. A person should take his life into his hands. That's the beginning of Achrayus. Which takes us to Ches, which is Chatzi Ha'olam. This is half the world. The Gemara says in Kedushin and Daf Mem, Tana Rabbanan, Le'olam yira adam atzmoy kilo chetzi chaya v'chetzi yizak. A person should look at himself. A person never knows where he's holding in Hashem's eyes. You should think, you know, it may be at this moment in my life, this is a crucial moment. Because if Hashem would judge me, there would be equal weight on the Tzad HaZchus as the Tzad HaChoyv. Also mitzvah achas, he does just one mitzvah, Ashrav. Fortunate is he, shechriya atzmo lekaf zchus, because he tilted himself to the side of merit. Over avera achas chas v'shalom, he does one avera, it's oiloi, woe is him, shechriyas atzmo lekaf choyvam. He's pushed himself to the side of demerit, on the side of choyv. And it goes on to say, not only is a person required to look that every moment of his life could be the decisive moment of his life, but perhaps the whole world is dependent on that one time, and that one person. And it goes on, says, a person should look at the whole world in terms of he may be the one. Ultimately, Hashem looks at the whole world, measures the entire zechusim and choivos, the mitzvahs, the positive and the negative, and if at one moment, instant, they balance out, your mitzvah, or chas v'sholem, your avera, could make all the difference. So we've spoken about the original Aleph, imein ani li mi li, in terms of I have to take my life into my own hands. But the other part of it is that we should realize how important that life is. Not only that you were the whole world was created for you, but at this instant in your life can make all the difference. The Gemara speaks in terms of how Hashem judges the world. It seems al pi kabbalah, there's another way of looking at this. That the entire Jewish people, says, are considered parts of one neshama. If one part is defective, it's felt throughout the whole corpus of the Jewish people. Lahavdil says, if a person has a toothache, it's a little tooth, it's a nerve that's irritated, the person can't function. It's one little part, and perhaps an unimportant part. And if that tooth would be removed, the person could still live a very productive life. But in the situation that it's in, that defect is crucial. Rabbi Shaul Salanter, the story is told, when he was in Vilna, he was in Kovna, he was in Königsberg, in Paris. When he was in Kovna, he told his Talmidim, says, be very careful, says, about how you spend your time and how you grow. He says, min batal do in Kovna, Shemat Menop Chas V'Sholem in Paris. There's a united Jewish soul. And if it's a little colder by you, you who are the Loimde Torah, those who have the S'chus to learn Torah, if it's a little colder by you, that Kaltkeit, that insensitivity, that lack of warmth carries through to the whole body of the Jewish people. And there may be someone who in Paris, who's only marginally Jewish, and perhaps only for something which is beyond his own reasoning, does he still maintain his ties to the Jewish people? The reason he maintains those ties is because you're learning in Kovna. But if you stop, If it's a little colder by you, it trickles down. It's colder by him. He no longer has that desire to remain Jewish. So whenever you do anything, it's important to realize it affects not only you, but it affects the whole world. There's another part of this. As we discuss the idea, again, we discuss the idea of the world is judged. At every moment, this could be the decisive moment, your act for the whole world. We've talked about how your influence affects how you lift yourself up, or chas v'sholom farkert, influences the whole world. There are things that we do that influence the world. Again, I don't know how much we spoke about astronomy before. I'd like to speak a little bit about history. History of the 20th century, as it's coming to a close now. One of the most powerful movements in our recent history was the communist movement. It was an idea that captured the hearts of millions and millions of people. And it captured the hearts of thousands and thousands of Jewish intellectuals. In fact, the one could say that the communists, without Jews, there would be no communist revolution. In fact, the leadership, besides Lenin, the early leadership of the Communist Party were all, without exception, were all Jews. And many of them had been dug out, had frum eltern, came from religious homes. Probably the leader of the revolution, the one perhaps not as Lenin would be the theorist, but the one who put it into action, was a Yid by the name of Lev Bronstein, who changed his name, went underground, changed to Leon Trotsky. Leon Trotsky came from a traditional home. And he went to Cheder. We know Leon Trotsky was spearheaded the revolution, and as a child he must have been a Vildachaya. He must have been a wild child, and I don't envy his teacher in school. But whatever it is, that teacher, the Rebbe in Cheder, must have beaten him terribly and turned him off forever to Yiddishkeit. He had terrible feelings towards Yiddishkeit. And it is told, alternately in the name of the altar of Nevardik or the Chofetz Chaim, that Rebbe who turned off Trotsky is responsible for the Russian Revolution and all that occurred in its aftermath. You have to realize that the sum total, tens of millions of people were killed because of that revolution. In Russia and later on in China, it changed, it turned the whole world topsy-turvy. And perhaps because of that revolution, indirectly, the whole rise of Nazi power came about. And because of the treaty that Stalin, his foreign minister Molotov, made with Hitler and his foreign minister Ribbentrop, says they were responsible ultimately for dividing Europe and creating World War II. All that suffering because of that Rebbe in Cheder. One action could have a ripple effect that could go for generations, could cause, rachmona litzlan, untold suffering, or for, on the other hand, who knows, untold good. I heard a vort, his name of Varn Kotler, and perhaps others say this as well. The Mishnah says in Ovos, the person should realize, lefnei mi ata osel litein din v'cheshben. Who are you eventually going to give an accounting? This is going to be judged and given accounting. This is Kodesh Baruch Hu. Melech Malchim Lochem Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the one you have to give an accounting. And the Meforshim deal with the problem. It seems to be repetitive. What's din and what's cheshbon? What's judgment and calculation, accounting seem to be synonymous. And I heard the name of Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, that din is what a person is judged at the time of his death. A person did the mitzvahs he did, the averas he did. That's the din. But a person plants seeds. Tuklamashal Rashi. Rashi is the Rebbe of all of Klal Yisrael. You learn Chumash, Rashi is your first Rebbe in Chumash. You learn Gemara, Rashi is your first Rebbe in Gemara. It would be impossible, when is it, to learn Chumash or Gemara without Rashi. Is there any way to calculate the total good that Rashi did in this world? You have to wait till the end of history when that final calculation will be made. That final calculation at the end of time, we can all the good that was done and all the people that it affected, is the ultimate cheshbon that will be made. That's when Rashi will be rewarded. That's the cheshbon. That's when we, Losad Lovay Ba'achris Hayomim, when the final accounting will be made, that's the ultimate cheshbon. Because what we do in our lives lasts beyond our lifetime. And if we're mashpia on students, on our children, it goes for generations. Pesach Kron tells over a beautiful story about a little child. It was in Russia, also Vilna Chaya. And the Rebbe really he was really a prankster. One day, this troublemaker in class made the ultimate prank. He took a tzig, he took a goat, stuffed the goat in the Oren Kodesh. And the Rebbe's in the cheder, and he's learning, whatever it is, and the kids are shuckling, and he hears, bah! He hears this sound coming from the Oren Kodesh. The Rebbe doesn't know what this is. He opens up, he looks and he hears it, he opens up this, the goat springs upon the Rebbe. I don't know if he knocked him over or not. Goes pandemonium, starts raining in the classroom. Says the kids are shrieking and laughing, and the Rebbe knows very well who the culprit is. As Pesach Kron tells the story, so the Rebbe Rashab, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe happened to be in that area, and before they want to make the final decision to throw him out of cheder, which is, you know, it wasn't like in New York, or whatever, like, you'll go out of this yeshiva, well, another yeshiva will take you in. If he's out of cheder, he's out. And he took him to Rashab, and he tells the Rebbe, says, I've had it, and it's just terrible, and I can't take it anymore, it's disturbing the classroom. And the little child, I don't know how old the child was, 7, 8, 9, tells the Rebbe, says, you know, if you're throwing me out of cheder, you're not throwing me. You're throwing me and my children and my grandchildren. So this little kid told the Rebbe this. And the Rebbe told the Malama to keep him in cheder. As the story goes, Pesach Kron told this story, it was told over to him, told it Berabim, this story, and someone came over to him afterwards and says, you know, I'm a grandchild of that person. And Baruch Hashem, all of these, the Zera V'Zera Zara of that person are all from today. What we affect doesn't affect just our, what we do doesn't affect ourselves. It affects the world and it affects it for generations. The Ches of Achrayas, the Chatzi Olam, realize what we do, we don't live in a vacuum. What we do may have tremendous import on the whole world. It's important to keep that in mind, whatever we do. That's the Ches of Achrayas. The Reish, this is Reuven. And again, this is from the Chazal, I'm sure you're all very familiar with. And we can learn this together. It says several places in Midrash, and picked as in Vayikra Rabbah, Parsha Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Ches. Reb Yitzchok. Limad toch Torah derech Eretz, the Torah taught you. Limad oisch Torah derech Eretz. Kishik shehei odem oisa mitzvah, when a person does a mitzvah, ye oisa belev someach. Do with a happy heart. You should with enthusiasm. She'ilu hoya Reuven yoidea, had Reuven known, Shakodesh Baruch Hu machtev olav, would write in the Torah of Yishma Reuven v'yatzileo miyodam, that Reuven heard this and saved Yosef from their hands. Hoya toyenoi melichei tzol oviv, he would have picked him up and carried him to his father. And it goes on, if Boaz would have known it would be written, as I'll speak about Aaron HaKohen. Very often we do things because we underestimate the importance of what's involved. A person is a, a mitzvah b'lev sameach is so appreciative. He has the opportunity to do a mitzvah. You try to give it all you've got. The Baal Achrayus doesn't do things halfway. You put your heart into it. Which takes, as you turn the page, to the other part of this, is that when you also, not only when you do it with a full heart. But when you start it, finish it. And this is taken from a Gemara. Soita Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Omer Rechama Bar Chanina. Kolo Oisa Dover V'loi Gomroi. This is Gemara. A person does something and does not finish it. V'vo Acher Gemara. And a person, someone else comes and finishes. Ma'ilo L'Vakosuv Al Shegemora Ki Lo Oisa. The one who finishes it is the one who did it. The one who just starts and doesn't finish doesn't get the full credit. That's why it says by the burial of Yosef HaTzadik, he says that the Klal Yisrael buried him. Moshe is not giving credit in Sefer Yeshua, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was metapel with Yosef HaTzadik, is the one who got got the casket that contained his body, took it out of Mitzrayim. Either it was buried deep in the Nile, or it was in the royal cemetery. It was very difficult to get. He took it out, and he brought it with him all 40 years, but Moshe Rabbeinu did not complete the process. But not only don't you get credit for it, but it continues on worse. Af maridin omer Rabbi Lazar omer, af maridin oisoi megdulosoi, he is lowered from his position of greatness. Yehuda, we spoke about Reuven. Yehuda also was involved in saving Yosef. Also didn't complete the process. And it says, Beisa he's v'yered Yehuda. Yehuda went down because he had lost his special position amongst the brothers. And Rabbi Shmuel, this is Bar Nachmeni, continues, Af koiver ishtoi abonav rachmon l'tzlon. For have started the mitzvah not finishing, then the person rachmon l'tzlon will be cursed as to bury his wife and children. When you start it and abandon it, in a certain sense, it's worse, partially, than not having begun it at all. A Baal Achrayus does it with enthusiasm. A Baal Achrayus finishes that which he starts. And that's the resh of Achrayus, which takes us to Yud, which is Yeush. We started off about this immense responsibility that it's dependent on you. The whole world rests on your shoulders. When you do what you have to do with enthusiasm, you have to finish it, and it becomes very often overwhelming. The Mishnah in Ovos and Perek Beis, Mishnah Tezvov and Tezayin, starts with Rabbi Tarfon Omer Hayom Kotzer. The day is short, life is short. Hamalacha Maruba. The task is great. Vapoyali Matzelim. Workers around you are lazy. It's very difficult to be enthused when no one else around you is working. However, Vaschar Harb Socher Harbe, the reward is great. Ubala Bayas Doichik. And the owner, the employer, is pressing. In that scene, it seems that it's overwhelming, but hu hoya oimer lo yolecha hamalocha ligmor. You're not responsible to finish it, vloyata ben chayrin libato memeno, but you're not free to stop either. A person's only required to do what that person can do. You know, there's a beautiful story that's told about the great Chassidish Rebbe, the great Chassidic master, Reb Zisha of Anapol, that on his deathbed he started crying. And those around him asked him, what are you crying for? And he says, you know, when I go to, he knew his last moments of life, he says, when I go to the Olam HaEmes, they're not going to ask me, Zisha, why weren't you Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, I don't have Moshe Rabbeinu's talents. He says, why weren't you, he says, like the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus? Why weren't you like the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidus? They'll ask me, Zisha, why weren't you Zisha? I gave you all those koiches. I don't expect you to be someone else, but I expect you to be yourself. And that's Iyata ben Chayrin Livotol Mimeno. So you have to try your best. And what happens when a person slacks off? When a person takes it just overwhelming? There's a Yerushalmi in the end of Masechta Brachos. This is on page 3. This is under Yud. This is paragraph 2. Omer Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Megillas Chasidim. This is Matzah Kosov. It was found written. We call Megillas Chasidim, the scroll of the pious. Yoim Tazveni. Hashem says, if you leave me one day, Yomayim Ezveka, I will forsake you 2 days. And it's a mashal, says Lishnayim Shiyotsu. There are two people, says, left. Echom Tavera Vecha, says Mitzipur. Two people left. There's one from the city of Tavera, the other from Tzipori. They left from different directions and they came to each other. This is Bechod Mashkan, in one place. Lehispik Lifur Zemizeh, by the time they started leaving, in other words, they said hello and this, and they started continuing on their way. So one came from one direction, the other came from there. They crossed paths and they kept on going. Atshaholach Zemil, the Zemil. So this one went one meal in the same time, and the other one went one meal. Nimser Chokin Zemizeh Shnei Milen. Now they're 2 meal apart. He's Hashem acts to us how Kaviyachol says we act to him. If we draw close, he draws close. But we go far, he also goes far. So the extent that our attitude is that I am going not to be miyayish, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to try my best under the circumstances that were given to me. He says, Hashem will, Kaviyachol, make the effort and draw close to you. But if you go far away, it's mutual. The distance is doubled. On the other hand, if a person takes the attitude, I'm going to try my best, and he looks around a world of people that are not trying their best, that don't have that same attitude, it's a nechama, it's a consolation of the next part, also taken from the Yerushalmi here. Tani Rav Shimon bar Yochai, we learned the Brisa, Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, you see that people have given up from Torah. There's a question I learned, Yedeim and Atayra Ma'oid. They've exceedingly either given up or the other way. Stand up, v'schazik bo, strengthen yourself, v'yata mekabel schar kulam. You will receive the reward of all of them. Notice, it's as if Hashem says, I will give this generation so much reward. And it will be apportioned to all those who take it. I guess the best example would be the lottery. I think I saw as I entered Ohio, I think it says $8 million. If there's one winner, one person is $8 million. I don't know the total population of all the people in Ohio. But pretend there would be 1 million winners. Well, everyone gets $8. If there are nobody buying lottery tickets or nobody wins, that one purchaser or that one that gets it all. There's so much schar given. If you are the one who take the initiative, you'll take it all. And that's what Shimon bar Yochai is saying. Which leads us, we take from Yud from Yesh to the Vav of Mokam Shein Anoshim. In Perik Beis, this is from Hillel Azokin, says, Hishtadel Yosish. When you're in a place where there's no one taking action, no one's taking the initiative. There are important things that have to be done and no one's taking care about it. You be the one. If there are other people, we quote the Gemara in Brochus and Samar Gimel, if there are other people, B'shas is Hamafazrim Kanes, there are other people doing it, there are other people spreading it out. So for Kirit, you don't have to do it. You could focus on personal growth. However, says B'shas Hamakanza, this is when the Talmidei Chacham, the Chachmei Hador, are not spreading Torah, are not doing what they should be doing. A person shouldn't have the false modesty. Me, stand up, says, and make your presence be felt. And I'd like to illustrate it with two stories. You know, very often when we hear stories, and we hear stories from Gedolim, people who were outstanding in almost every facet of their character, it's really hard for us to compare ourselves to those people. Somehow my daughter brought home a book. It was published by Art Scroll, Masorah Publications, called A Mother's Favorite Stories. I don't know if you've seen it, by Shana Medwood. And I'd like to quote two stories here, because I think it's remarkable what anyone can do. This is the story of a woman called Clara Hammer. It all started 15 years ago when Mrs. Hammer went to the butcher shop to buy chickens for Shabbos. She walked inside, took her place in line behind a young girl of about 12. The child's long hair was neatly braided, and she wore a blue skirt with a flowered blouse, the usual attire for ultra-Orthodox girls in Yerushalayim. Mrs. Hammer's curiosity was aroused, though, when she saw the butcher hand the girl a large plastic bag filled with nothing but chicken fat and skin. The girl took the bag, said a polite thank you, and walked out. After the girl had left the store, Mrs. Hammer asked the butcher, "How many dogs or cats does that family have?" "No, Giveret Hammer," so the butcher shook his head slowly. "That family does not have dogs or cats. The father's on dialysis, and there are 7 children in the family. They owe me 10,000 lirot, and I just can't give them any more meat on credit. I saved this stuff especially for them. I give it to them for free." Mrs. Hammer was appalled. "You consider yourself a religious man, don't you?"
I should hope so.
"Well," said Mrs. Hammer emphatically, "you're giving that family poison. You know why you have all this junk left over? Because no one wants to eat it. I wouldn't even feed it to an animal. So from now on, please do not give it to that girl and her family. You give them 2 chickens every week, or 1 chicken and the equivalent of another chicken. It can be some chopped meat or hot dogs for the children, and put it on my bill." Word spread to other needy families, and before she knew it, Mrs. Hammer was providing Shabbos chickens for 4 families. As a retired Hebrew teacher living on Social Security, however, Mrs. Hammer knew she had reached the limit of what she personally could handle. Yet she didn't have the heart to think of families sitting down to an impoverished Shabbos table. By Shabbos, was supposed to be a day of joy and plenty. How could the children enjoy themselves if there wasn't anything special to eat? She enlisted the support of her children and grandchildren and convinced friends and neighbors to contribute. So, vegetarian families were provided with soy schnitzel and other similar products. Says, "Why should some people be deprived?" she said with an understanding chuckle, "just because they don't eat chicken." Over the years, Mrs. Hammer's project grew, yet it remained a one-woman operation. Last year, she personally wrote 847 letters to contributors. She wrote so much that her thumb cartilage began to wear out. Now she wears a specially designed pad when she writes to give her thumb muscles a chance to heal. And she's very careful. She writes a personal note to every single person that gives her a donation. I'm skipping part of this thing. He continues, the story concludes. Now in her 90s, Mrs. Hammer is and always has been a woman of conviction and action. She never was one to wait for people to ask for help before pitching in wholeheartedly. And you can be sure it doesn't stop with chickens. Countless brises, the brisim were made, clothing and furniture for the needy collected, nursery school toys provided, Shabbos candles donated, all this and more awaited her. She stood on line that landmark day in the butcher shop. How different the lives of so many people, her own included, would have been had Mrs. Clara Hammer not donated that first chicken. That's a person who had achrayas. It's not an Adam Gadol. It's not a person that's known far and wide. But it's one person who felt a mokum shein anoshim yishtadol yos ish. And I'd like to tell you another beautiful story. In the first story, she started an organization. The second story is something that's not as ambitious, but nonetheless significant. One day during the Yom Kippur War, Clara Hammer was sitting on a bench, enjoying the fresh air, when she overheard a conversation taking place between two women she didn't know. They were commiserating over their neighbor's situation. Poor Shula. She came home from the hospital with triplets, and she has two other children. Her husband was called up to the army. This is the Yom Kippur War in 1973. And her mother, who planned on coming to help, just came down with pneumonia, is in the hospital. I just don't know how Shula's going to manage. Mrs. Hammer was up in a flash. Excuse me, I cannot help but overhear a conversation. Where does this Shula live? The women looked at her questioningly. Who is she? What is she listening to their conversation? Undaunted, Clara persisted. Well, I would be glad to help her. Where does she live? Why not, they thought. Right around the corner, number 47. Thank you. What is her last name? Berger. Clara picked up her knitting bag and went right over. A knock at the door brought a very tired-looking young woman to the door. A quick glance took in the two toddlers clinging to the mother's skirt. In the background, a chorus of newborn cries could be heard. Mazel tov, Shula, said Mrs. Hammer with genuine joy. Shula remained standing in the doorway, looked puzzled and wondering where the kind stranger who stood on her doorstep had come from. My name is Clara Hammer, said Mrs. Hammer, as if in answer to an unspoken question. I live a few blocks away, and I can come any time you need to help with the children. Shula stood there speechless. It seemed too good to be true. Overcome, she managed to get out one word. Really? Clara's reply came without any hesitation. That's right. What Shula needed the most help was with the feeding of the babies. She could only feed two at a time, and of course that was exactly when her toddlers decided they needed an extra dollop of mommy's attention. She gave Mrs. Hammer a schedule of the triplets' feeding times, and from that moment on, every day at mealtime, Safta Clara was there. When the war was over and Shula's husband returned from the front, the grateful couple presented Mrs. Hammer with a beautiful sitter. Over the years, the two families kept in touch, so it was with deep sense of closeness that Clara participated in a triple happy bar mitzvah celebration. As Mrs. Hammer so matter-of-factly put it, quote, some people listen and say, oh, poor Shula. What do you mean, oh, poor Shula? At that time, I didn't yet have any grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I was willing and able, so why shouldn't I help someone instead of just sitting on a bench? The author concludes this, just think. If the other two women had gotten off the bench instead of talking about poor Shula, each one of the triplets would have someone to hold him. That's Vov, Mokum Shein Anoshim. And finally, Tof of Achrayas is Toichocha. We're responsible. We spoke about how I affect others. But ultimately, we are in turn affected by others. The Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, Tashas Abal Pipshutoi, says the Chazal, is a mitzvah. This is Lamdei Techachas Musar, to teach someone, to correct someone. V'leisisa olav chet She'alecha osham kasha yechta lo yechachto isay. That you shouldn't have a sin, be considered guilty, culpable, if someone sins and you didn't rebuke the person, at least try to prevent it. It continues, I quote, in addition, says the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Mishpatim. If you go in the second line, Domar Mar Kol Mi She'efshar Lo Limchoy Zban She Beisoy, someone could protest what's happening, feels it's what's happening, which is something which is not correct in one's own house. Ve'ena Moicha Nitfus Alan She Beisoy, he doesn't make that protest, he is caught up. He is held accountable for what the actions of the people in his household. And if he could make a difference in how the conduct of his own community, he doesn't. The person is held responsible for the conduct of one city. Not only do we affect others, we are affected. And therefore, says, we can't stand idly by. And that, again, is the tough of Achrayas. And let me just review what we've gone through here. The Aleph of Achrayas, im ein ani li mi li, is don't take the attitude, well, somebody else is going to help me out. This is Rabbeinu Yoina. You have to try to inspire yourself. And don't blame it on others. Like Elazar ben Dordaya says, Eina davar tole elibi. It depends on me, and you should know are so choshev. Chayev odom loimer, says, person is required to say, Bishvili nivra oilam, the whole world is created for me. So the Aleph of Achrayas is that sense of, I have to take my life in my own hands. And Ches chatzi oilam is, that basically the whole world's dependent on me. The whole world is judged half-half. My one action could tip the scales. As we quoted from Yisrael Salanter, how I act affects the attitudes of others. You know, as Mabatelton says, in Kovna Shmat Merop in Paris, Rachmon Litzlon, if I'm not as warm as I can be, if I don't have that Yerushamayim, I don't have that commitment, there's a ripple effect, and my lack of commitment affects others as well. And of course, this is from how Din V'Cheshvan Baron Kotler says that what I do could affect generations. The Reish of Reuven, as we remember, says Reuven, had he realized the import, he's doing a Dvar Mitzvah, if he put his whole heart into it, Chazal said history would have turned out differently. When you do something, you do it with your whole heart. And then also, says, when you begin, says, you should end. Says, begin, do it with your whole heart, and see to it that it comes to its correct conclusion. Yud of Yeush is you shouldn't take the attitude, it's just overwhelming. It's too much. Remember the story of Zisha, Hashem only expects you to be you. You have to be the best you, but ultimately, it's you. But if you are what you could be, and in a generation of people who aren't what they should be, you could take the reward, remember that lottery ticket, of them all. The Vav Mokam Shein Anoshim says, in a place where there are no people, you be that person. Remember that story of Clara Hammer, says, a Pusha Defroy, who started a whole tzedakah organization and helped that poor woman, says, with triplets. Because if there's no one else, you're the one. And remember, the tough toichocha is that you live in a world that has faults. If you are quiet, you're part of that world. You're judged with that world. You should try your utmost just to try to change that world, at least to have that voice of protest. I believe, says, if you keep this in mind and keep the sheets, it will make this just as in a sense, as the Yerim Yitz Hashem, says, this is the beginning of a long and fruitful life. Mirtz Hashem, you'll have many talmidos. You'll raise a family. You'll have an effect on your spouses, an effect on your children. You have to realize that you can make a tremendous and important difference.
We hope you enjoyed this lecture. For more information about this lecture series and to order our audio cassettes and the accompanying outlines, please write to the Jewish Heritage Foundation, 15220 West Lincoln, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237, or call 1-800-797-7729.